beep, 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 beep. If you're new to this, it's the Saved by the Bell podcast where I invite a friend over to watch an episode of the show and then we critically deconstruct it for you. And I'm having another repeat guest, another not only super funny dude, but a guy who's equally as obsessed with the show as I am. His name is Andre Highland.
Hey, what's up?
And he specifically emailed me like, yo, I gotta come back for one of these summer job eps.
I did. I screeched to your Lisa.
Yeah. No, but I'm happy to have you back because you're just as into it as I am. Well, the episode that we just watched is called Boss Lady, and the original air date was October 19th, 1991. Now go ahead and give us a short synopsis, okay. And then this is pretty action-packed, and then we'll get into it.
It is. I'm going to try to do a better job, as last time I just kept delving into the episode.
Because you're just eager to talk about it.
So here's the quick bullet points. Okay. It's the gang's still working at the beach,
right?
You know, at the beach club for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Starts off with, more or less it starts off with Stacy Carosi and Zach realizing that, they've double booked the dining room
right.
at the club that evening for two parties, a sweet 16 party mm-hmm. and a 50th wedding anniversary party. So, what do we do?
Right.
But they're not the ones who booked it. The father's the one who booked it.
Yeah, Mr. and he goes Carosi. Out of town.
Cut to, I guess, outside. Another B story going on is Screech has got a metal detector.
Yeah.
And lucky for him, he strikes gold.
Right.
He finds a gold coin on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
So that plant is seeded. Wait, did I say it? That seed is planted. So basically, they've got these two parties coming in, booked for the same night. The gang has to figure out, how are we going to do this? Mr. Carosi's taking the night off
right.
to be at some other event. Stacy's been put in charge. You know, Zach's squeeze at the time.
Yeah.
So the two of them are pretty much trying to figure out, how are we going to deal with these two parties that are booked for the same time?
Mm.
Meanwhile, Screech finds gold. Other people on the beach, surfers that look like the band
Skid Row.
I think
the beach is like lousy with gold now.
Yeah. Just everybody gets excited. There's a gold rush outside at Malibu Sands. People just start digging up the property. Their first solution to the double booked party is, we'll convince the Sweet 16 party to have it outside. That'll be fun. They go outside. The whole grounds have been dug up in search of gold.
Right.
Is that a good enough synopsis to get into
it? Yeah.
Oh, whoa, I forgot. Oh, yeah. The cooking staff, meanwhile,
goes on strike.
To add more fuel
it's
to the fire.
It's a sea story.
Yeah, there's a sea story going on. The cooking staff was promised a raise, which they've not got.
Yeah.
And they decide to go on strike.
Yeah.
Stacy's in charge. Mr. Carosi's away. She thinks, they're trying to take advantage of me because my father's away. No way. I'm not gonna give in to these demands of these angry kitchen staff.
Right.
And then Jesse, of course, is taking the voice of the little guy.
Yeah.
The little guy being the
she turns it into political.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah. The underpaid staff in the kitchen. So she speaks for them, and Slater, I guess, is down with the kitchen staff. And he convinces them to, like, just chill out, and they'll talk to Mr. Carosi when he gets there. Stacy goes, they're not taking advantage of me. Storms into the kitchen and goes, no raise, no how, never. And she's so rude that they go, forget it, we're going on strike again.
Right.
Even though Slater, unbeknownst to her, had already solved
had already smoothed things over.
So they got a double-booked dining room for two parties, a kitchen staff that's on strike.
And a beach full of holes.
And a beach full of holes. And
so,
and that's the conundrum.
Yeah.
Should we talk about the end? Should we just? Yeah. Basically, they figure. Okay. The two parties wind up being there together, and Zach, you know, the jig is up. They decide we're gonna have each party be in there for an hour each. We're gonna kick the old people in there first and just rush them out, have them gobble up their food and do their dance, kick them out, and get the Sweet 16 in there.
Right.
So they do that more or less. Then they get the Sweet 16 in there, but the old group isn't out. The 50th anniversary wedding. Party is not out of the dining staff yet.
So they get caught, essentially.
They get caught, essentially. And Stacy uses the word, okay, everybody, I confess.
Yeah.
So it's a confession situation.
Yeah.
She's like, the room's been double booked. My bad. And then Zach goes, yo, dance with them. And convinces both parties, young and old, to dance together.
Yeah.
They have a great time. And really flip the script on the whole situation.
Yeah.
Mr. Carosi shows up and goes, what's going on? And he goes, what idiot? Oh, we'll get into the lines
later.
Yeah,
we'll get into the...
Basically,
it ends up being okay. It
ends up being okay.
What happens.
Zach explains, yeah.
But we'll really get
we
into it because
it
should not have been okay.
Yeah.
And we'll get into it.
But the last moment of the episode,
mm-hmm.
Mr. Carosi goes, I'm going to go for a walk now that everything's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, no problem. And they go, oh my God, he's going for a walk outside. And they run to the door and realize Mr. Croce fell in one of the beach holes.
And then they're just like, who
episode
cares?
Ends.
Yeah, totally. Okay, well, the episode begins, as I think every one of these summer job episodes begins, with a pan of the beach.
Yeah.
Every one of them is just like, look at how cool the beach is, everybody. And like, that's how it starts. I guess just to show you the majestic splendor of Malibu, where they work.
And Peter Engel probably dropped some money on that sweeping helicopter shot, wants to utilize it, you know, honestly.
Exactly. He's like, you guys, I had to rent the copter, all this shit. Like, this is the opening for every summer job ep. Deal with it.
The summer episodes for them is sort of almost like when a TV show has a movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the Reno 911 movie or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they want to get more into
the
it. And this is his
value.
Chance. Yeah, like, we're going outside. We're really going to go outside.
Absolutely.
Like,
absolutely.
You never get sweeping shots of the high school.
No,
or the
never,
Max.
Ever. Do you ever? You never
you
see an outside
time,
view of the high school.
You one time do, and it was just like a throwaway B-roll shot, and I think it was in the Las Vegas wedding one. I think they swing by to say hi or something like that, or they meet up there.
I'm gonna have to rewatch that.
It might
that
be the
movie.
Hawaiian one. There's one quick shot outside once, and it's in one of the two movies.
I cannot wait to do the Hawaiian, but the Hawaiian, because of the circumstances of like the principal convention just happens to be here at the same time we are. I always love that. Okay, so shot of the beach. Hi, we're at the beach. Just letting you know, still summer job ep. And then it begins also, as they all do, where they all have to like line up military
like style. Staff
again.
Meeting in the morning.
Yeah. You know, and expecting Croce to come, but he's late. So Zach stands up and is like, hey guys, like does an impression of him.
Yeah, yeah. With his he's facing the lineup of employees.
Yeah, and so he has his back to Croce and Stacy when they actually do walk up.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he's doing obviously like a comic, like an unflattering, like he's like, hey, I'm a big dick. Like just totally making fun of him.
Zach
clearly.
Is pretending to be Mr. Croce, everyone's boss, and just ragging on him.
Right. And everybody's kind of laughing until they see Croce walk up and Stacy walks up with him.
Yeah.
And Screech tries to do the whole like, he's right behind you, dude.
Right.
But Zach doesn't know it and continues with the impression.
Yeah.
Now, not only would he be immediately fired, because, I mean, he is for real going like, I'm a big, fat, grumpy asshole.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Just saying shit like that. So he would be fired immediately. But also, he's making fun of his girlfriend's
dad.
That's
the point I was going to make, too. Yeah, yeah. Like, she's never that salty about it. She's like, I guess she's just like, okay, I guess my dad is a dick. Leon Croce sucks.
Yeah. That's the thing is, she's not even like, hey, dude, come on. Like, at the end of the day, that is my dad.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So.
Oh, but there was something Kelly chimed. I should have written it down better. Like, Zach says something disparaging about Mr. Croce. And then, I did write it down, actually. I had some line. Kelly, hang on. Give me a moment. I have my notes here. My notes look like chicken scratch. Oh, yeah. Basically, this doesn't even make sense what she said. Well, here's what happens. Zach said something rude about Mr. Croce.
Right.
You know, he's standing behind Zach. Zach doesn't realize. So Kelly also tries to save Zach. And she goes, I think what Zach's trying to say is a happy staff is a snappy staff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As though that's going to, like, solve the whole situation of Zach
of
ragging
doing,
on the boss.
Of him doing a clearly unflattering impression of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Zach would have been fired immediately. Stacy would have at least bare minds been like, hey, dude, maybe not make fun of my dad in front of everybody. But none of that happens, of course.
Yeah.
And
I guess was Mr. Croce just curious to see what Zach was going to say further? Because he wasn't like,
announce.
Yo, dude, behind you, I'm here. Quit it. Get in line. I got to go over what we got to do today. He was just like, I'll watch this for a moment.
I guess, right, which would lend itself to firing him. That would make me think, oh, I'm going to stand here, let him dig his own grave a little more.
Yeah.
Because I am going to fire him.
Yeah.
And you're right. So even with even more evidence of him being a dick, he doesn't fire him.
Maybe it's just that egomaniacal. He's just like, I want to keep hearing what this guy has to say about me, even though it's negative.
Let's see,
I got to hear
it. This is actually a decent impression of me. Maybe it's pretty good. Yeah, so Croce walks up, and then, you know, Zach's like, oh, shit. He gets in line, and then that's when he tells everybody, like, hey, I'm going out of town tonight. Which, that was curious to me. I've never worked in a situation like this. I didn't work at a country club where you stay overnight or whatever. But I feel like he doesn't even have to tell them this. If he's going to be gone, he's like, hey, I'm going to be gone for the night. I got to do whatever. Stacy's in charge. Stacy's already kind of in charge in previous episodes.
If not even in a like a technical manner, she's the boss's daughter.
Yeah, it's
you're
like you kind of
says.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's like he kind of doesn't have to say that, and he also kind of doesn't have to tell them he's going out of town because I feel like they wouldn't even notice.
Yeah.
If it's for one night.
Don't they have a schedule they just look at?
Yeah, it's like they just do their jobs as usual. They're but yeah, so he tells them I'm going to be out of town, Stacy's in charge. And then so the next scene is all of them playing frisbee in the lobby.
Yeah, the whole gang in the lobby.
Yeah. Because they now know he's out of town. If he hadn't had that meeting, they would have just done their job as usual.
Yeah, yeah. It's like Kelly and Screech, Slater and Zach all playing frisbee in the lobby.
Right.
There was a clever shot. I say clever, but I say by the Bell standards.
Yeah.
It cut from like a wide to like sort of a shot of just Lisa and Jesse behind the front desk, and you see the frisbee pass.
Yes.
And they're like, we're not going to follow the frisbee. That's just action that's happening.
Yeah. Well, and also because they're like, we can't afford to actually break a thing.
Yeah.
So we're going to throw it off camera.
Yeah.
And then play the worst like cassette worst tape.
Awful.
Sound
some smash
effect.
Sound from like the Nosferatu film. Yeah. It was like some ancient sounding with like so much reverb. It was like,
and it was also the sound of like, 17 glasses breaking. Like,
yeah,
he just threw it into like a cabinet of only glass.
Yeah, yeah.
Things.
It was like, yeah, the frisbee just flew away. You just heard this terribly distorted crash of glass, and it sounded like a B side off of Raw Power or something like that. It was like ultra blown out sound effect of something smashing,
but
and then
only a bunch of glass.
And then Stacy's like, "Yo, guys, you can't break stuff. My dad's away." Blah 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 blah.
Right.
They never even investigated what they broke. Like it was not an issue. Like it was just like, no, "Come on, guys, cool it. Stop breaking windows or." A table full of cocktail glasses,
exactly.
Whatever it was that they broke.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing is they're in the lobby. They're just like in the lobby where you walk in. And so that was my, and it's Slater who goes to catch the frisbee.
Yeah.
They also aren't like, hey, Slater, are you okay? Since you apparently just slammed your body into like a tower of glass.
Wearing some summer shorts with your resort legs sticking out.
Right. Like, yeah, they never at all, they just all go, okay. And everybody just leaves. And apparently there's just a mountain of shattered glass in the lobby that they just leave there.
But meanwhile, during this whole glass breaking issue that became a non-issue, really,
nobody cares
that's when
about.
They discovered that the dining room has been double booked for the 50th anniversary. Were they the Hillburns?
Oh, right, because I wrote down the names. Okay, so there's a mountain of shattered glass in the lobby nobody cares about, and then Mr. Richter.
Richter is the 16.
Yeah, he walks up. This guy, you know, old guy, mustache, customer
of the
club.
He looks like a balding Ted Turner.
Yeah, totally. He walks up with like this giant picture and he's like, hey, I want to hang this in the room for my daughter's sweet 16 party. And, you know, Stacy Gross is like, yeah, cool. Got it, buddy. And then I think Zach is like, wait a minute. When is that party? And he's like, tonight.
And real quickly, though, when that guy came up holding a framed photo, I thought, uh-oh. This has got to be the frame that got busted by the frisbee. Like, clearly, okay, here's the response to what just happened.
He's walking up being like, y'all just broke this.
Yeah,
totally.
And, but no, had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, nothing to do with it at all. But he's just like, hey, I want to make sure this is hanging up tonight. Light bulb goes off. Zach's like, what, tonight? And then that's when they go, shit, the Thornhills 50th anniversary is tonight. And so they kind of go, okay, dude, we got it. And walk off, and then walk immediately into the dining room where the old couple, the Thornhills, are eating.
Yeah, they're eating.
Like, they just happen to be eating that exact same time.
Yeah, they're like, for our 50th anniversary, we're renting out this dining room. It's going to be great. What do you want to do the afternoon? I don't know. Let's go to the same dining room and eat lunch when it's sort of not our place at that time.
Yeah, totally.
Like that's the worst thing. When you go to some event that's sort of big in your life, and it's sort of a sacred moment on some level or another. Like, let's say you have a graduation somewhere. It's like, oh, that's how I remember that venue that they rented in the museum or wherever. Like that happens, and you go there on a regular humdrum day, you're just like, it kind of loses its pizzazz.
Yeah.
But these people are like, I want to be there before the banner is hung and before our old timey music is played and all our friends come.
Literally 4 hours before we're supposed to have our party there.
We're gonna hang out, just eat crap off the menu usual. Like, I don't know. I mean, sure, I guess maybe they're just tired of the magic. But I would say if you're gonna rent a place out, I don't want to be there beforehand.
Also, you make an interesting point as far as it's. The Malibu Sands Beach Club, again, I'm led to believe it's like a country club. It's where rich people hang out and have a membership. They only have one dining room. Don't most places have, like, that's the dining room where you go eat breakfast and lunch and dinner, like regular.
Hi, everybody. This is April speaking to you from space year 2023. That's right. I'm cutting in here to let you know that it has now been 10 years, a full calendar decade since I started this podcast, Go Bayside. And as you've probably noticed the entire time, it was very DIY. I was never on a network. There's never been any ads in any of the episodes. And now that it's been 10 entire years that it's been out there in the ether on every possible podcast player for you to enjoy, I am taking the first 50 episodes and I am archiving them. So episodes 1 through 50 will now only be available on my Patreon, which is patreon.com/AprilRichardson. If you go there, there's several tiers that I think are very reasonable. The first being just to have access to all of the Go Bayside archive episodes. The rest being to catch up on the new stuff that I'm making should you be interested in hearing me talk about other things that aren't Saved by the Bell related. So there you go. It's been 10 years, you guys. 10 years listening to me talk nonsense about this television show. And now you can join me over at patreon.com/AprilRichardson. Or if it's easier for you to remember, you can go to baremins.com. That is baremins.com. And you can find all of the old Go Bayside episodes there for you to enjoy. Play until your heart's content. Leave comments. See the photos on my old green couch. Join us there, please. And thank you so much for 10 years of supporting Go Bayside.